Let's take our Bibles, and I'd like you to meet me in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The topic we're going to speak on this morning is called Three Gifts. And of course, we're familiar with the wise men who brought three gifts. And many people, because of the tone of the Gospel of Matthew, like to infer that those three gifts had different meanings for the deity, for the merchandise, and then also for the death of the Lord. Of course, we don't see that necessarily in Scripture. That doesn't mean that it's not there for a reason. But it got me thinking about what three gifts can we see from Scripture this time of year that we can apply. I'm sure many of you can begin to think about the time when Christmas started to change for you. Okay? It went from you were excited about the opportunity to unwrap all the gifts under the tree, and as you got older and older, your taste in gifts changed. You know, there's like the age-old, oh, the dad gets another tie, or hang in there, guys. I know you got holes in your undershirts and your socks are getting all your toes out because of all the damage they have. Just hang in there till the 25th, and you'll get all the new socks and underwear and undershirts that you need. So your desires begin to change, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but as we go through life, this time of year, it's a little bit different. I mean, right now we're enjoying record temperatures. Well, I don't know if we want to say enjoying, but we are experiencing record temperatures. I'm sure there were so many kids that went to bed last night and prayed for a flurry of snow in Tampa. Boy, am I glad that that is not the case. But but as we get older and circumstances in our lives change, this time of year takes on new meaning. And of course, we all eventually grow up from what we think Christmas should mean. You know, sadly, it's been very marketed. We've talked about this, you know, a little bit last week, but we've talked about what Christmas has become, really. It's become a holiday for sales, and it's become something that you almost sit down and you look at your kids open up the gifts, and you're like, wow, that mom got a good deal on that. Dad got a good deal on that. And, you know, we set reminders, and there's a whole Friday that's dedicated a month before to go out and get all your stuff done. And I don't know if you guys remember, before COVID, it was getting insane. Like, I remember this specifically. Every year it was like, instead of, I'll just use Macy's as an example, we're opening at 7 a.m. on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Then they were starting to open up at 11 at night on Thanksgiving. You remember that? And it was just insane, and it was getting to the point where you were beginning to feel badly for these retail workers that were having to leave their families, you know, 5-6 hours early so that everyone could go get their Christmas deal. And, you know, COVID happened, and it kind of made everything digital. Now Amazon's got all sorts of different colors of the rainbow for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You can get your deals whenever you want and just add a color to it, and you'll have it. And so it can become very, you know, business-like. We want to find the right wrapping paper. We want to find the right card. We want to find the right gift that'll really just inspire something of awe and amazement in the person who receives it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily, but I think it's important that we remember that that is not what everybody experiences this time of year. There are many people, and I say this routinely because of the truth of it, there are many people who lost somebody in January. They lost somebody in May. Wherever it may be, and they're feeling it now. When the phone doesn't ring for like it should, or the dinner table is empty, that's hard. It's very difficult for people. So it changes. It shouldn't be so much about what kind of gift can I get that will really just blow somebody out of the water. Can we look at what we already have and say thank you? Because that's really what I think we should be doing this time of year. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with trying to get a good deal on a laptop. There's nothing wrong with that. But that should not be the goal. That should not be what we tell our kids. You know, because they're watching what we do this time of year. They're looking at how we treat everything. And it's so important to see these three gifts that I want to talk about in the Scripture. The first one here is the gift of eternal life. Look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there's two modifiers I want to add on this. Of course, this is the gift of everlasting life, and this is only received by faith in Jesus Christ. Boy, isn't it interesting that right now, during Christmas time, it's almost the last thing on people's minds. I have nothing against the Joy FM. I'm not a cranky old man up here. I'm just telling you how it is. It's so funny to me sometimes when you turn on the Joy FM during this time of year and you hear Christmas music, you can count more secular songs than you can count spiritual songs. And I'm not, you know, that's just an analysis. That's just what I look at. But it's almost like we've got to make sure that we keep everybody distanced from the real thing, because the real thing nowadays is divisive. The real thing nowadays, which is Jesus Christ, you know that age-old cliche, the reason for the season, he's the offender in this case. We don't want to talk about him. I mean, there's whole videos that try to coach you on how to get ready for dinner in a couple of hours with your family, how to avoid political conversations. And isn't it funny that the two things that people don't want to talk about, religion and politics, are the things that really guide how your life goes? We don't want to talk about those things. And it's interesting to see here the definition of a gift is eternal life. Now, this is very important to see. There's a contrast here. Look at this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me show you these two things. The first two things that are in contrast is wages and gift. Okay, wages and gift. What's the difference here? Okay, I go clock in and I go put in 40 hours of work that week. What I earn is my wage. Okay, and if I work 38 hours, I'm not going to get paid for 40. I'm going to get paid for what? 38 hours. That's my wage. Now, as I continue to work, and as I do a better job, and as I show myself to be reliable and comprehending the business, my wage may go up, but there is never a time in which I will be paid for more than what I work. If I put in 38, I'm getting what is the rate for 38 hours. Companies would go out of business if they just practiced, if somebody came in for 10 hours and they paid them for 40. There's a there's a problem there that is not sustainable. But we see here and understand the wages is something that you earn. This is what you deserve. So what's the wages of sin? What is the reception for sin? It's death. You know, this is why it's so important that when we do the wallet illustration, we make sure to highlight the wages of sin is death. You know the illustration. If this hand represents you and me and my wallet represents sin, this all separates us from God. Now, I've gotten some Christmas cards recently, so I have a little bit of money in my wallet. I don't carry cash around often, but I love when I do have cash in my wallet because it's a good example of what people think. The wages of sin is death. What people and religions have said in the world today is this, which will represent a currency, okay? We're going to say this is the good works currency. People will say, well, this is the wages of sin. If I take this, then God will apply it to my sin. But the Bible says, what we earn for sin is death. It's also important to understand what that word death means. You go to many different cultures today, and people think different things about death. But what everybody is united on with death is it is a separation. That's exactly what it is. Regardless of what world religion you're talking about, the death of an individual is the separation from the soul and the body. And that is what happens the moment that a person dies. Sometimes when we think of death, we think of a hospital room. Some of you are so familiar with hospitals that you despise the smell of them. I'm like that. I don't like the way hospitals smell. I really appreciate people that work there, but whenever I find myself going into a hospital, there are so many memories there that I don't necessarily enjoy being there. But sometimes we think of that. We think of an operating table. We think of some type of medical drama that we may have seen. And we think, well, when the person dies, there's the body. And that's it. But what we don't recognize is the soul has left that individual. So yes, we have the body here, which is just a vessel for the soul. But something has happened here, and that something is death. There's been a separation. That's what the wages of sin is. If Adam and Eve had never eaten of the fruit, there would have been no separation. There would have been unity. That's why when we see eternal life in the rest of this verse here, we see unity. Life is the presence of unity, specifically with God. We trace everything back. If we follow death all the way back into the Garden of Eden, we see sin being the originator of death. God came down and he walked in the coolness of the garden and he said, where is everybody, so to speak? And of course, he's not really trying to find out the answer to that question. He already knows. And the first thing that has happened is the blame game. We all know that, husbands, if you understand. Let me hear you. Where are you at this morning? The blame game. Well, if it would have been this, or if it could have been that, or if you really want to get in trouble, you look at your wife and you say, if you would have, and then your Merry Christmas is right outside, and just call it Christmas at that point, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing merry going on there. But so many times we see that same thing. We blame. Well, guys, the fact of the matter comes down to the wages of sin is death because of what happened in the garden. And Satan's temptation to Adam and Eve was, you're not going to die physically. But that moment, they were spiritually separated from God. This is why the first two children, Cain and Abel, had to give sacrifices. Obviously, mom and dad knew enough about this separation and the importance of blood that had to be shed. This is why Cain's sacrifice was rejected, because it was the fruit of his own hands. Although it was probably a wonderful cornucopia of fruit and vegetables, whatever it was, of the ground that he had tilled and prepared, it was not a sacrifice that required the shedding of blood. That's why Abel's sacrifice was honored, because there had to be a covering for this sin. The wages of sin is death. So that first word, wages, what we earn, is to be contrasted with a gift. I don't know about you, but I like boxes. I don't know what it is. The edges. I don't use journals, but I have bought so many just because of how nice they look. Anybody with me on that this morning? I am so glad the six of us are all in the same place, okay? I feel good. I feel like I'm in brothers and sisters this morning, you know? The rest of you, I'll pray for you. You'll get there, okay? You know what I'm saying? But I don't know what it is about boxes and just things that are, you know, they're very neat. When I got married, I learned how horrible of a Christmas present wrapper I was. There is nothing better than a really well-wrapped gift. You know what I'm talking about? The one that you look at and the edges are so sharp, you could clean up with it in the morning. You could shave a little bit. You look at it, you're looking at the Christmas tree, and there's, oh, one gift here, and here's another gift here, and oh, that's what Jesse wrapped. This is another gift here, and oh, look at that. Oh, that's another one from Jesse. My favorite thing is a stocking stuffer. Why? Because you literally just put it in the stocking. Don't have to wrap the stocking. It's beautiful. By the way, yesterday we were going out, you know, just being a family, doing all these different things. I come home, and we didn't do a lot of gifts this year because it's been pretty crazy in the Martinez house, and we already have a beautiful little gift already, the gift that keeps on giving, but yeah, and taking. Formula, where are you at? So, but anyway, we get home, and all this, it was a murder scene. I'm holding the baby, and Kyla's coming in, and we had just gotten some lunch, and my dog, she just, the one time, we have left the house so many times, she must have smelled something in the stocking, and she tore it up, okay? Literally, it was a crime scene. I could hear the Hershey's Kisses crying out. She ate the entire row of Hershey's Kisses. So that's exciting. So you're sitting there going, hopefully this is not the last Christmas for you, and if it is, I hope you enjoyed it. And then all of a sudden, the chocolate orange, which is really, just give me my chocolate orange. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's anything else that I don't get, let me get the chocolate orange. She had unwrapped the entire thing. And thank goodness she was playing with it. But it was just underneath the table. And as I go to take her outside so she can go to the bathroom, because you know how that's going to go, I hear her little feet. It's like 1, 2, 3, click, 1, 2, 3, click, 1, 2, 3, click. I'm like, what is? And there's an entire foil of the orange wrapper just stuck on the back of her foot. And I'm like, this is going well. You know, like, today is going well. I tell you that story to tell you that, you know, the gift that I was looking forward to getting, it's a little bit modified. You know what I'm saying? There's an IOU from my 10-year-old dog. And I looked at her and said, this is what 2-year-old dogs do. I'm like, come on, get with the program. But a gift is something that you do not pay anything to receive. That's what's wonderful about this time of year. And those Christmas gifts that are wrapped so nicely, you like the way it looks, but you also want to open it up to see what's inside of it. I think the best kind of gifts are the ones that you're really not expecting. You know, I remember when I was a kid, like, oh, you get the magazine, you circle this and you circle that, and then you You get there and you find out my grandmother just, you know, she went back on QVC and just bought everything that was on QVC, which was great. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with that. But when you have three brothers and everybody gets the same RC car, somebody's the odd man out. And somebody on our street had a giant radio antenna for the longest time. So we would drive it past their house and all of a sudden it would just, whoop, it would die. And it's like, well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? But those gifts that we received, I know that the culture says, well, you got to be good. You got to make sure you're on the nice list in order to receive them. But a gift is really given to you without any merit that you've given. It's free. That's the definition of it. It's free. It's not what we understand here in Tampa, Florida as it's not a BOGO thing. You got to buy one and then you get one free. Which, by the way, just look at the markup of the first one. You see how you're paying for the second one. But that's not how this gift works. The gift, look at the definition of it. Remember, we're comparing wages, something that you earn, gift, something that you're freely given. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, some would say this is salvation. This is synonymous with salvation. Yes, I agree, 100%. Eternal life puts a descriptor on the type of life. It's forever. And it's told to us how we receive it. Through, remember my illustration with the money? This represents, you know, all of our good works. Through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. Where's the value of this? Where's the value of good works? Sure, they can be present, but they do not merit eternal life. So that's the first gift, but there's some descriptors. Look in chapter 5. We talked about free, Romans chapter 5 in verse 18. One of my favorite passages referring to the eternal life that we receive in Jesus Christ, referring to salvation, because it says free. The person who says you got to give in order to receive, they got a problem with this verse. Verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment it came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And that's just one place in this passage where we see that use of the word free gift. But that's the description of the salvation that, folks, you've already unwrapped. Many of you have already experienced that gift. Wasn't even during Christmas. Didn't even have nice edges. Yet it's so easy for us to forget that we've received that. I'm sure there's gifts that have been given to me that I had them for a long time, but at some point, don't use them anymore. I'm sure we've all experienced something like that. Salvation is the gift that lasts forever. You open it up every single day. It's a wonderful gift that has been given to us by grace. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. You know this passage, but I want to show you some emphasis here. Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8 through 9. Page 1251 in the Church Loan Bible. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This gift of eternal life that has been given to us has been given by grace, getting what we do not deserve. Now, we can tie this back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Guess what? You clocked in, you're going to get a paycheck, folks. Right now, if you were to pass away and you had not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have not received that free gift, you will receive the wages of your sin, which is death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. What I just said today would be considered offensive in churches that are having service this morning, some of them. Well, does it make people feel comfortable? Folks, I'm not here to really make people feel comfortable. We need to speak the truth. I remember failing many, many times in AP World History. I had a weird teacher. He was just one of those guys where it was like, I don't know what's going on with him. He's just an oddball. Perfect guy for AP World History. Turns out now history is one of my favorite subjects. I wish it was at that time. But I remember so many times turning in papers late. Where are my late paper people? Anybody? Same people that like journals. Love you guys. Late papers, right? You turn in something late. It says on your syllabus in the class, every day that you turn it in late, it's 5% off your grade until you receive a total of 30%. And at that point, whatever you turn in, the highest it's going to be is a 70. If you do that three times, now you're just going to have 40% off and you got a failing grade. I didn't like to hear it, but every time I'd come in with my paper 3-4 days late, guess what? I didn't magically earn back 20%. He didn't say, oh, okay. No, I turn in the paper late, that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get that 5% per day deduction. Now, there was always extra credit at the end of the year for every teacher. And that was the opportunity for slackers like me to just really clean up, you know? It's like, oh, we got extra credit. Let's just do as much as we can and C's get degrees, baby. Which they do, by the way. Which they do. Not saying you should do that, but that worked for me. And all of a sudden, all this extra credit was coming up. Then we get to Mr. Hagenmeyer's class, and there's no extra credit. And you're like biting your nails because you're going, I still haven't turned in that paper from 6 weeks ago. Then he'd give extra credit, and you know how much it would go towards your grade? 5%. That was it. And no matter how many of us went in there and tried to plead our case, and this is what we earned. And I didn't get a good grade in AP World History. Why is that? Because that's what I earned. Now, it would have been a gift if he gave me an A. It wouldn't have helped me, by the way. Would not have helped me. But it would have been something that I didn't earn, amen? It would have definitely been something that I didn't care how it was wrapped. Thank you. I think that's how I got my Spanish credit, by the way. I think I took Spanish 5-6 times, and it barely held on for that. The second gift here, we've looked at the gift of eternal life. The second gift, I like this definition here, the heavenly gift. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. Very controversial passage. Very controversial passage. And my intent this morning is not to dissect that phrase by phrase, although it's a great passage for eternal security, which is so funny how it's used in a different context. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 6, look in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now, what I believe is in context here is the permanence of the heavenly gift. There's a word there that is used. It says tasted. Now, you and I might understand this today. I want you to backtrack to when you were young, and the only thing that you liked was like all the basic food. Like if it's not, you know, pinwheel mac and cheese and dino nuggies, I don't want it. That stage of your life. We're not talking about when you go to the restaurant for the first time, you're trying a new food, you just, you taste it, and then you, oh, I don't like it. Where's my dino nuggies? That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? This word tasted means to partake. That's its understanding in the Greek. And what it's saying is those who partake in this heavenly gift, it's impossible, verse 6, that they can be renewed again unto repentance. Meaning, even if they fall away, they'll never be in a state to where they have to change their mind again about Christ to get saved. It's the permanence of the heavenly gift. Look in chapter 2 and verse 9. Same book, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, I see a parallel here. Jesus tasted and partook in death so that we could taste and partake in the heavenly gift of eternal life. Amen? Again, that's not something that you'll find wrapped under the tree every year. Sadly, it's not something that we're going to find bristling out on the radio waves or all over our social media feeds and in our streaming apps and all these different things. It's the exact opposite of that. I think it's so funny that the idea of, you know, Mr. Claus and all these things, you got to be good to earn it. Well, I don't think that's a coincidence, okay? I just don't. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's important to see here the description is that it is a heavenly gift. It's something that has come from above. And we're going to see in a moment some different things that apply there. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to get there in a minute, but you know, we've always illustrated the gospel message, and I think it's important we do so at this time, because what we're going to talk about next is a different kind of gift, okay? And there's actually one bonus gift as well, and I want you to, as they say in those videos, you won't believe how this ends. So make sure you stay, don't leave, okay? But this illustration here, I think, perfectly illustrates what a gift is. Remember we talked about a moment ago, if this hand is you and me and my wallet represents sin? Well, we all have sinned. The Bible says that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, God, he loves us, but he hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. Guys, this is the Christmas story. In order to get to heaven, you have to be perfect, just like God, but we all fall short. Recently, we've got all these LS people on our YouTube channel. No, that's, you know, we're not making fun of everybody, but this is what it is. These Lordship Salvation people, they're coming in droves, and they are hitting Bible line. Pew, pew, pew. And poor Trent, he's been doing this for like a year now, and he was so, you know, emphatic in the beginning, like, I'm going to answer every comment. I'm going to get every comment. And recently, it's just been like a tsunami, just a wave. And he was either on the phone or maybe in a text message or whatever. Maybe he was in my office. He said, I can't keep up with these guys. And I told him, I think a lot of these guys just copy and paste stuff and they throw it in the comments. And they want to overwhelm good people that are really trying to just win people to Christ. They want to discourage them. And basically they're saying, no, sit down, be quiet, and worry about your eternal life. Don't try to encourage other people. You figure your own salvation out. No, we're not going to do that because my salvation doesn't have to be figured out. It's already paid. Amen? The wages of sin is death, and we just talked about that. Many people, I'll use this currency again, think that you've got to pay good works and whatever. Let this represent the best of us, the best of you. And they think God hears this in exchange for my sin. We're not saved by good works. Somebody's got to die. This hand will represent Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. And what God did, as it says in Romans 5:8, to demonstrate his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we had this, Christ died for us. No, he did not die as an example for us. He died in our place, folks. This is the best news that should be accompanying not just every day, but certainly this time of year. We would not have the understanding of gifting if it was not for the free gift of Jesus Christ. By the way, what Jay read this morning, there's a phrase in there, that the nation increased, but the joy did not. Why? Because the joy is of fleshly things, as the passage says in Isaiah, as men get excited to divide spoil. It's great this time of year when you get your bonus check, right? And they see, oh, I got X amount of money, but guess what happens next week? Hey, oh, who's at the door? Hey, it's Tico. Oh, hey, Tico. Oh, here you go. Hey, what's up? It's Pep Boys. What are you doing here? You got a flat tire, and it's not something we can patch. And you're like, okay. Hey, oh, it's your grandson. He wants the new Apple Watch, Google Maps Pro Lite Expedition version. Okay. Say like, and the temporary satisfaction that comes from this does not increase. As a matter of fact, the more you have of this, the less you have of this. And that's something that people build their entire lives around. Well, if I got more of this, everything would be great. We see what happens. This does not bring any kind of joy. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ being born into the world to offer us the free gift of everlasting life, we would not have this time of year. We'd be doing nothing right now. You'd be sitting at home going, I can't believe it's 20 degree wind chill. I'm not going anywhere. And certainly I'm not having the radio on. This represents Jesus Christ. And here's what he did for us, folks. For God so loved, you put your name there. I don't think that's a heresy to do that. Because we're all a part of, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, catch this please, If you're here this morning and you know you're waiting for the whole, hey, ask him into your heart, walk down the aisle, let me see that you're really deserving of eternal life, you're going to miss that because that's not what is said here. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation, justification, the giving of righteousness by God is received by faith in Christ. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the free gift. Now, for those of you that are here this morning and that makes sense, maybe it made sense for the first time, you can get saved right now. And this is not where we dim the lights and we start some really dramatic music and we try to stir up some emotion in you. That's not the point here. If that makes sense to you, you can put your faith in Christ right now. This does not mean you have to subscribe to a certain kind of church. This does not mean that you have to start something that lasts forever. It means simply you are now adopted into God's family and that can never be reversed. It's a wonderful gift. You can receive it right now. The moment that you receive it, you also get a down payment, so to speak, and that is the Holy Spirit. You might say, Pastor, I don't feel different. I mean, my shorts are a little tighter. You know, it's this time of year, but do I feel the Holy Spirit? No. It's not some Disney movie animation magic where you elevate above the pew and, oh, he's got it. It's not a twinkle in your eye. It's certainly not let your heart be your guide. It's the guarantee from Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1 says, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, some of you just got saved right now. You just put your faith in Christ for the first time in your life. It made sense. You put your faith in him for eternal life. Some of you have been saved for a while. You've already put your faith in Christ years ago. Regardless of whether you just got saved this morning, which Merry Christmas, by the way, what a wonderful gift, or if you got saved years ago, all of you received the Holy Spirit, and guess what? You got more gifts. For real. You got more gifts. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is the Christian life, right? It's more than volunteering. It's more than, you know, coming consistently to services. It's using what God has given you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Now, let's look up here for a moment before we read this. Contextually speaking, this is Paul really writing his last breath to a young man named Timothy. This, I think, is some of the sweetest portions of Scripture in regards to encouragement and exhortation to preach the word. Matter of fact, we get to that later in 2 Timothy. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. But this is an old man talking to a young man. He's looking down and he's saying, here's the torch, run with it. And just like Moses, you remember Moses when, I don't know if many of you guys remember that Prince of Egypt movie, the animated one. Some of the strong, I still get emotional thinking about it when Moses is there, you know, he's run away. He's fled from his responsibilities. It's been years and God appears to him as the burning bush. And the way it's animated, it's not exactly word perfect to the Scripture there, but there's a part where you can just see where Moses is like, not me, no way, not me. What about this? What about this? What about this? And in the animation, the flame gets brighter and the voice gets stronger, and God says, who made your mouth? Who gave you all these things? Have not I? It's one of the strongest things in Scripture because it is, again, God showing, I'm doing this for you, not because of all the things that you have. Notice how Egypt was not destroyed with the sword. It was with the word of the Lord. Moses, over and over, let my people go. Let my people go. Plague after plague after plague after plague. And then ultimately the army, the greatest army in the world at that time was swallowed up in the Red Sea. And not a sword was slung. I don't know if you remember the Christian Baal Moses that came out a while ago. They had that guy was like a ninja, like cutting people up. It's like, have you guys read the Bible? I mean, you're really stretching things. But I see a lot of parallel here. We don't see Timothy's response, but Paul answers some things that Timothy might have said. But, look what he says in verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in these different areas, in word. Now, for a young man who's a preacher, these are the things you say in the pulpit. The things that you say in the pulpit should be an example. That's why the people that get up on the, by the way, just for those of you who are curious, this is the floor down here. This is not the floor. At no time should I elevate myself up here and say, this is now the floor. At no time should I grab my Bible and use it as a weapon and slap and, you know, call at the air. At no time should I say that I'm praying for people to go to hell. When I see preachers like that, I say, ooh, you should read 1 Timothy 4:12. Because you're not being an example of the believer. Look at the next phrase here. In conversation. This is not in your text messages, right? Salute brothers with a kiss. And you send a little kiss emoji. I've done my part in conversation. Now, this is in the way you carry yourself, your manner of life. In love, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give exhortation to reading to exhortation, or give attendance to reading to exhortation to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, folks, each one of you have a gift. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a form and a function in the body of Christ. I don't like saying that people are worthy, because what we are worthy of is separation from God forever in a place called hell. Instead, I look at the person that has beat themselves up mentally and I say, you have incredible value. Give me the value buy, right? Give me the thing that is valuable. The thing that's worthy, I don't want that. I want the thing that has value and purpose. Can you imagine for a moment you found out you had a rich uncle somewhere that died and left you $10 million? And all you needed was to sign over the papers. At the time, you needed an instrument to write with. And your attorney, lawyer, whatever, they give you a beautiful fountain pen. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's the kind that when you use it, like the, you know, the little end split, and it's like, oh, you can get all this detail. There's also a 3-cent pencil that's probably about the size of the quarter top of my pinky. And you look here and you say, this is a momentous moment. I need the fountain pen. And you go to sign the signature, and it's not writing. You think, certainly, this is the thing that is worthy of the occasion. We would use this, but it doesn't write. And so you grab the 3-cent pencil, and you are able to make a signature with that. Which one is more valuable? The one that worked. And it was the 3-cent pencil. Folks, the world is selling you a fountain pen. Okay? It says, whoop, you need this. Oh, don't forget your 401, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Don't forget all this that you need. Oh, you got to have, we're going to put all your streaming packages together so you can just literally be glued to your couch. You can work from home too. You just, when the computer's off, bring up the laptop. You can even make it a nice background in the back. Oh, everything's good. I'm on an island in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They sell you things like that for happiness. Then there's God's way, which in the eyes of man is a 3-cent pencil. It's foolishness. It's like, this thing, when you could have this? One of them works, folks, and the other one doesn't. The gift that you have is incredibly valuable. Now, I think it's funny, although I've done this myself, but I think it's funny, when you go to the www.whatsmyspiritualgift.net/co, whatever, and you pull up and it's a 250 question quiz, and you're like, surely this is it. Surely this is it. And you find out it's just what Publix has been doing for years. It's 10 different questions asked the same way. By the way, I remember applying for that at Publix right here on Hanley. You get to question 80 and you're like, I know I've heard this, but I have got to give myself, you know, the best image that I can. So you answer it a different way than you answered the last two times. I wonder why Publix never called me back. It's funny. My whole family works there, but they knew this guy? No, he can't even get the questions right. But sometimes people think, when I go to that website, I'm going to find my gift there. That's how I'll find my value, my purpose. That's not how it works. Because many times, we kind of answer those questions we want to, right? The way we want to. Before you know it, it's like, you've answered those questions so well, the website says, have you considered that you're an apostle? You may want to write a biblical book. Yeah, because you've given the best image of yourself. How do we use these gifts? We don't neglect them. How do we find out what they are? Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyselves wholly to them. Now, there's a connection I want to make here. We've talked about gift, okay, being something that we freely receive. And yes, we have freely received the gift of eternal life. We have freely received the heavenly gift. Now, this gift that we have also freely received, once we get it, we need to work it out. It's not something that we just, here's my spiritual gift. I'm going to put it right here in my office. Do you ever use that? No. Look how pretty it is, though. Where do you keep your gifts? And it's just a big, hey, check out where I keep my gift, but nobody uses it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body of Christ is not just a, you know, figurative thing. I believe it's, you know, we are literally a part of the body of Christ. And in verse 1, Paul begins a dissertation on spiritual gifts. Now, it's important to recognize here, the chapter wedged between 12 and 14, chapter 13 is the chapter on love. So here's what happens. Look up here for a moment. Paul says, I'm going to give you the outline for how the church should function. Before I get into the problems that you have using these gifts, we're going to talk about how you need to use them in love. If there's one way that I can describe godly love, without using a Greek definition and all these different things, I would put it in this way. You ready? Selflessness. That's love. Selflessness. That's the hardest thing to do today. How many men have you heard, I just don't like being told what to do? Yikes. That kind of attitude is not going to get you far. What, isn't that the first attitude we see in our kids? Don't do that. I think I will. Where did you learn that from? Hello, this is their sin nature. Nice to meet you. I have one too. You know, it's how these things go. Selflessness. That's what love is. When I got married to Kyla back in 2011, I received marriage counseling for 6-something weeks. And I remember that word, selflessness. So it wasn't, well, I'm going to be married to Kyla as long as it suits my needs. Oh, we're a good fit because our needs are together. Folks, you know what happens over 10, 15 years? The needs change. The desires change. But if you go into a marriage with selfless love, you'll always love your partner, regardless of what they may become. As a matter of fact, it's less likely they'll become that way because you love them the right way. Hello. That's not being taught today. As a matter of fact, there's a whole discussion beforehand. Now, if and when this fails, do you have a backup plan? I don't understand that. I do not understand that. If that's how you're looking at it, you should probably just not get married. It's sad that 50% of marriages end in divorce because we're all getting ready for the divorce beforehand. Like, okay, if you do this, and I'm going to do this, and then we'll do this, and then we'll be done. All right, ready, set, go. Let's see how long we can go. It's like every 2 years, there's like a contract agreement, like the NFL. Well, you've done pretty good at this. The dishes could have been washed a little bit more, and honestly, the honey-do list has been long for a while. I think we could re-up for another 2 years just at these terms. What do you think? Oh, yeah, let's sign. Oh, not going to work? Well, we'll just go back to the agreement that we had before you made this eternal bond, and we'll just undo it. Okay, my place next week? Sounds good. That's how people view it. People view their church attendance the same way. I'm really glad to see this many people here this morning. I really am. It's a joy to me to see that people want to be here on a day where most people would say, well, you know, it's Christmas. Yeah. I have, you know what I'm saying? It's like you think of something, right? And you're like, how would this go? You know, it's like the quarterback looking at the perfect defense. Like, well, I don't know if we should do that. It's Christmas. Yeah, it's Christmas. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that this is not the last time that you're here. I hope that this is something that continues. I hope that it doesn't take a new year for you to be committed to Christ. You've already been given a gift. I don't know what that gift is. It is my job to find out as you serve. That's the role of what I'm doing. You know what pastor means? It's a shepherd. You ever seen the job of a shepherd? Yeah, it's sometimes he's got to get in with people. And that's my job, but I can't get in with you if you're not here. I'm not going to be the person that is begging you to come to church. You know why I'm not going to do that? Because I've tried to do that for a long time in different situations. I've tried to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives. You know what happens? They come for a little bit, and then they leave. Why? Because they're coming on your faith, not on theirs. I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to pray for you. And I know all of you can't look me in the eye at once here, but I do pray for you. I pray for you every day. You are a blessing to me. And a part of this gift that God has given me is not to be shut up behind a paywall. It's not to be shut up behind a schedule or appointments. It's supposed to be freely given, and I'm not supposed to neglect it. It's been freely given to me, so I'm going to freely give it back. Period. When people ask about weddings and funerals, they say, how much do you charge? I say, I don't charge anything. And that's not because I'm going, oh, he's so holier than thou. But I just don't feel right about doing something that I should do anyway. It's just given the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. The description of the gift here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. This is without knowledge, by the way. It's a strong word there, ignorant. You don't want to be described as that. There's a description here in verse 12. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now the teenagers today will go like, oh, burn, roasted, your idols are dumb. That's not what he's talking about here. What does he mean here? Dumb and that they cannot speak. They do not have the power that they supposedly carry. Boy, that's powerful. Wherefore I give you to understand. What's the purpose of this? To come to knowledge. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. So here's what that means. You don't get to walk into church next week and say, oh, I got a special gift. And you have to talk to me about it in order to understand it. Oh, this was given to me by revelation of God. Well, can I find it in the scripture? No. God entrusted me. Stop right there. We got to stop. Yes, there are different kinds of gifts. There are people that are strong with different talents and abilities, as the scripture goes on to describe here. But there's not somebody who's going to come in under a different spirit. That it will not. It is the same Holy Spirit. And this is how you understand unity and how we can understand a little bit of eternal life now. We all have the same Spirit. You brought them here. You brought them here, and you serve with them. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now look up here for a moment. What's the point of these gifts? By the way, I see in verse 4, 5, and 6 the different operations of the Trinity. We've got the Spirit, we've got Lord, and we've got God there. They worketh all in all. Verse 7 is taking those three things, tying them into one thing. What's the point? Why do you have this gift? to profit the body of Christ, and ultimately to reach the world. Now, if I was going to sell you a stock today, and I told you this stock is guaranteed 0x return, all you got to do is take all your money, put it in here, and I guarantee you next year it will have increased by 0x. Are you excited? Are you grabbing the 3-cent pencil that you just signed a $10 million life insurance policy to? You're like, oh, yeah, give me the 0x return. No. You invest so that your money grows. All right, we see that illustration of the three who go into the kingdom for the king who's coming from far away, and they were each given a pound, and they increased it. And the one who was foolish hid it under his mattress. It did not grow and invest. I think that's a picture of the gospel. So we've been given this stock, so to speak. We need to increase it. It needs to be profitable. It needs to be profitable. Therefore, we have to work it out. Verse 8, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. This will be my last illustration before we close. How many of you guys have played White Elephant? Raise your hand. Or whatever version. I'm getting such good feedback this morning. All my journal people, my C's get degrees people. You know how that goes, right? This is the first year that we're not doing that as a family, and I'm a little bit more excited, you know, to go see the family. Because sometimes White Elephant, there's one person that just didn't get the message, $20 limit. I think one year somebody got like a Sam's Club membership. We're like, hello, we're buying Slinkies and stuff. I want that now. And now everyone's arguing about that. I hope that wasn't my mother-in-law. I don't think it was. I think it was one of Kyla's aunts, actually. It was not here. But you know how that goes. I think a lot of people think that's how the Christian life is. That's how the gifts work. Here we are, the body of Christ, and we've got all these different gifts. My turn. I want yours. I don't like mine. I'm going to trade it. And then everyone's just trading stuff. And you know what happens at the end of the White Elephant? All of a sudden, no one wants to play board games with each other. Everyone's just wondering why that one person always buys that gift. It's not something that's, you know, the best of times. But that's how some people treat the gifts in the body of Christ. Well, I don't like mine. I want yours. Folks, look at what verse 11 said. Dividing to every man severally as he will. The gift that you have been given, whatever that gift is, has been given to you by God, period. And if you have a hard time with that, you need to ask yourself why. Okay? God doesn't make mistakes. Maybe there's a lesson you need to learn. Maybe there's something in you that is a little incorrect that needs to change. Don't you want to be used to the best of the ability that God has asked you to be used? Remember Moses? Lord, I don't speak well. Lord, I don't have a good reputation. How am I going to go back? You're going to go back because I'm going to work through you, Moses. And guess what? I'll let Aaron do all the talking for you. That went well until Mount Sinai. You do a little research on that. But God will give you what you need to do what he's asked you to do. Amen? He's not going to leave you cold and in the dark and say, I guess I made a mistake with you. By the way, if God's ever saying that, he's not God. Trust him. Learn to trust him with the gift that you've been given. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. I'll close with this story. Let's close our Bibles here as we're coming to an end. I remember one year we were at a winter camp I don't know why we did this, but we did a winter retreat, and there was swimming involved. Tracy, I think you were at this. I think you were at this one. It was like 2016 or something. And there was this giant, many of you have heard this story, but bear with me. For those of you who haven't, you'll enjoy this. There was this thing called the blob, and the thing about the blob is it's literally a blob, and it's kind of, it's not inflated to the highest capability, because the idea is you have a kid go out there, and they swim, or actually they climb up this big, tall thing, they jump down, and then they crawl to the end, and then they want a bigger, heavier man to then jump on where they jumped, and they're on the end, and then they get, you know, Elon Musked into the air. They're now charting a course to Mars at this point, and it's so much fun for them. Well, guess who is the bigger guy? It's me, okay? So we had to have a kid that was probably like 180. Okay? And it's, that is big for a teenager, okay? And here's me. I think at the time I was probably like right about 280. I'm crawling, literally crawling up that thing because I am so scared. I am so scared. I do not like heights, by the way. I think God made me 6'1" because that's the highest that I should go. All right, it's not, how high can we get the 6-foot man? No, let's just sea level, please. You can ask my uncle about times that we would go hiking and we'd have to scramble. You know, I was the kid that everybody walked by and thought, oh yeah, we've all had kids like that. I remember one time we went to Ruby Falls and there was a joke made about how the elevator goes down 1,000 miles an hour. Well, I took that to heart. We didn't even get to go because I was throwing a fit. I'm like, no, we're not doing the height thing. So here I am, like doing this for the kids, ultimately for the Lord, crawling up this thing, get to the edge. And I know that when I jump, that thing is going to catch me. It's rated for 1,000 pounds and I ain't there yet. And I'm like, this is going to work, and this is all steady. But I was crippled with fear. I'm the leader. I'm the guy that booked the place and got the food menu ready and all these different things and put all these people into place. And, you know, I'll be lighting a fire later. And here I am, 20 feet in the air. Literally, I'm looking at the horizon. I'm like, like I'm just like, jump, 1, 2, 3. Can't do it. All the kids are back there. I thank goodness I couldn't see them, but I can only imagine they're just like, yeah, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean on thine own understanding. Yeah, this guy. So here we go, right? And I was scared. I didn't want to do this. I thought, I'm supposed to be leading Bible studies, not jumping off of a 20-foot platform. And ultimately, I just had to trust. And you go, okay, well, I'm sure the kid, he ended up being okay, but I did Elon Musk that kid into the stratosphere. I mean, when I hit that thing, literally, all I think it was Angelo, I just saw him and I thought, I'm so glad he signed a waiver. It was just like, boom. And you're waiting and you're like, 31, 32, 33, when is he coming down? You know? And then all you just hear the splash and, you know, he's got the life vest on and, you know, the next kid, he's probably like 110 pounds, so he's not going to jump and push me anywhere. And I go and I find Angela. I'm like, you doing okay? He's like, yeah. Is it crooked in here? But I remember that. I remember that as an illustration for learning how to trust. And I'm not here to say that you won't do that and be afraid at the same time. There are many things in life that cause us fear and anxiety. And you know what? That's a part of the human experience. However, it should not freeze us out of motion. It should not stop us from moving forward. I was reminded of a quote that Yankee has said several times before, and he said it recently. Courage is fear that says its prayers and move forward. And that has resonated with me. Because you know what? There are things in my life that I look at, and I know God's asking me to do it, and I have no idea what the end is like, but I end up asking the question, is he faithful to do what he says he's going to do? And every time the answer is yes. So even though it might be a shuffle forward, I'm moving forward. Then you know what ends up happening? You go through a roller coaster, you find yourself in a valley, but guess what? Who's there the whole time? God. He's there every time. And it's not by some sign in the sky or some homemade smell that reminds you of something. It's in the scripture. We have, this year, through this entire little process with adoption, which, by the way, continue to pray for, because there's still things that are coming in the future with that. We've gone to the Lord every time. Been a lot of times where we look into the future, and it's bleak and dark. We have no idea what we're looking at, but you know what? We know who's leading us. And I can only see what's in front of me. But if I stop moving, guess what? The whole plan stops. And that's my encouragement to you. Those of you who have received and tasted of this heavenly gift, don't be the one that falls away, who gets their feet stuck in cement, and they don't move forward. You don't have to wait until next Sunday to start getting stuff right. You can do it today. By the way, you want to buy stock? Get all the gym memberships, okay? Because they're already working on advertising. I told you I saw a Planet Fitness ad on a pizza box. I thought, y'all are close. You should put it at the like on the bottom of the pizza box, so when the pie is gone and you know everything has hit, you go, yeah, I probably should. But I won't. Nice try. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I'm so glad that you came this morning, and I hope that you find time to spend with your family and your friends. And even if you don't have people local, knock on a neighbor's door. Wish them Merry Christmas. Give them a heaven track. Share with them a free gift that I guarantee you they will not regret receiving. We don't have to isolate ourselves in our homes today. We need to go out and give this gift to others. I gave that illustration earlier about the wages of sin is death and the separation from God forever in a place called hell. If that made sense to you and you understood for the first time, you know what? I've been trusting in myself to get to heaven. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. I want to pray for you. Because that's what this season is all about. And here at Calvary, for those of you that are joining us for the first time, this type of message doesn't go away starting Wednesday. Now, the Christmas songs will, okay? We're going to move away from those. But the theme of this season doesn't end. It's Jesus Christ 24/7 here. And it's the same thing, it should be the same thing in your life. We're given life by Jesus Christ, we are sustained by Jesus Christ, and we serve by Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around as the musicians make their way up. I want to ask you, maybe if that did make sense to you today and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, would you let me know? I know this is, you know, sometimes you may have been in a church where people now ask you to stand up and come down the aisle and we play 86 verses of Just As I Am, that we're not going to do that. I'm just going to ask you right where you sit, if that made sense, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to heaven today. Praise the Lord. I see you. God bless you. Anyone else before we close? Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just enables me to pray for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, have you maybe been caught up in the commercialism of the holiday? Maybe you've only started thinking about these things this time of year. I encourage you to look at the gifts that are described to us in Scripture. The heavenly gift, the gift of eternal life, and the gift ultimately of service, the gift of gifts. Don't let that go to waste. And if you have this year, if you've been slack, if you've kind of taken a back seat to service, if you've gotten bitter because of the conditions of the world, take a moment to get right with God. Well, Pastor, what does that look like? Just thank Him for what He's already done. You can confess that sin to Him, and He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. and the newness of your salvation is restored. That joy is restored. Once you're saved, you can never be lost, even for the one who raised their hand today. Even if you never come back, if you never get into your Bible, whatever it is, you're still signed and sealed by God. But you should get involved. You should read your Bible. You should learn to walk with the Lord. It's one of the sweetest gifts you can experience here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you that we can be here today on Christmas. It's such a blessing to be able to experience that. Bless us now, Lord, in our conversation, the things that we go do with family and friends coming up. I pray, Lord, that we can find somebody and give them the free gift of eternal life in the gospel tract, or maybe even a conversation. We pray for those in our ministry that are traveling and can't be here today, those that are sick. We pray, Lord, for the ESL program this week and the Wednesday night prayer meeting as well. In Jesus' name we pray these things.